We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Morning show on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Well, the Twitter is heating up this morning. That's for sure. At 929 The Game.
Like fire.
A lot of opinions.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people on the Twitter feeds, John, and follow us. They want to trade back. They want to trade back. And they want to get they're throwing some names out there, but they're like they're not too sold. They was talking about Trae Young and Michael Porter Jr. So they're saying they trade a pick. I'm of the mindset if you have an opportunity to get some of the best players, because you don't know what you're gonna get after after the fifth pick in the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a crapshoot. And I know Daryl pointed out the fact that Travis Link hangs his hat on the fact that they find diamonds in the rough in those later rounds. But if you have an opportunity to pick a pure athlete in one of those top five in the slot that you're in, why not do that and build that way? You know, because I just think that's better because you're getting one of the elite players at that point. You're getting an elite player at that point. So I don't feel the same way that other people feel about this, you know, trade back and loading up picks and everything, because you can get a whole bunch of nothing with those later picks. And at the same time, I mean, to the other side of the argument, you can get that third pick and he could turn out to be anything, nothing either. But that's where, you know, your scouting department and everybody, they have to do their homework, man, and they have to pick the right guy with the right mindset.
Well, that platinum flyer that's on our show at 8:20, I have full faith and credit in him. I mean, last year he nailed it with John Collins. I mean, that was a pretty darn good pick, considering, where you were picking, 19, and you got that guy? Okay, I'll go with that. A lot of times, 19 is a nothing guy. I trust that they, you know, he has certainly, let's put it this way, he's done his due diligence. We know that. Whew, has he ever? And the whole thing about, you know, could Arizona draft Luka Doncic number one overall because of his ties to their new head coach? This Igor Kokoskov was the coach of Doncic on a European team that won a championship. So they have a direct tie together. We'll see what happens with that. A lot to chew up. Again, you can go to our Vision Computer poll, which is at 929 The Game, and vote on who the Hawks ought to draft at number three, and join the conversation too, because we're talking about this Dennis raising his hand and saying, you know, he'd be open to a trade thing and that his agent's going to meet, according to Dennis, with the Hawks today. So that's what Dennis said. And discuss that as well, you know, and because people are saying maybe we should trade Dennis and draft Trae Young. So that's another thing, you know.
Yeah, that's what people are talking about. They're talking about, you know, making moves like that. But it's good. It feels good to be in a position that, you know, you're gonna get a player. You're gonna get somebody that's gonna be a strong representative for the community of Atlanta. You're gonna get somebody like that, definitely.
Well, again, a lot to chop up today with the Hawks and the number three pick that happened last night. And Dennis Schroeder's comments, and of course the Braves and Cubs, if they can get the game in tonight, weather permitting, after what happened last night in the ninth inning, and there's now a closer by committee, et cetera, that the Braves are going to have to do after blowing that game last night in the ninth inning. The Falcons are also making a little bit of news. They have released running back Terrence McGee. Now McGee only appeared in a couple of games last year. He didn't touch the ball in the games that he appeared. He was only in a couple of games, and so he has been released, and they make room for a free agent defensive back out of Texas named Jason Hall, who they signed to a deal. Jason Hall, as a defensive back, 162 career tackles, 3 picks at Texas, but the one thing that jumps out at you just from looking at the numbers of Jason Hall, who, frankly, I watched some Texas games, he didn't jump off the page at me, I don't even remember seeing him, but he is 6'3", 220, and, you know, 6'3", 220, that's a big, tall cornerback. And so I can see where, you know, if Jason Hall, he's the kind of guy that when you sign a guy that's like this, it strikes me that I think you're looking at somebody that can, you know, be a camp, scout guy, you know, because you can match up against these big, tall corners that you match.
Give him that work. And if you remember, Jalen Collins was a big corner. Mm. He was a big corner.
Right.
And John, like to have a corner, a tall corner that can run and cover, That's a plus in the NFL nowadays. I played with two guys like that, man. Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent were two of the biggest corners that I've ever played with. And you're talking about back when I played, it's funny when I say that, but it was a different game because you could play more bump and run, but to have big physical corners that could actually do that, that's a plus. I know the game is a lot different because you got that five-yard cushion now, but to have a long guy that can run and can cover like that, that's a huge asset in your secondary, huge.
Well, Isaiah Oliver, they list him at 6 foot. I stood next to Isaiah Oliver last Friday. I think he's the same height. I always thought I was 6'2". Maybe I'm shrinking. I mean, he's a 6 foot guy. Russell Gage, they put him out at cornerback, and they'll look at him. He's also a 6 foot guy. So I think Falcons trying to get a little bit larger. What you got?
Huh?
Oh no.
Damn, John, you just put me off the spot.
No, you were just pointing, and I thought, I looked over and you went, yeah, no. It was like an idea, like bing.
No. I had a thought, you know. I was just what? I just had a thought. But no, I got nothing. I got nothing.
No, but you were talking about big, tall corners, and you know, the Falcons getting bigger and stronger. And you know what this also screams to me again is the same thing that Gage and Bethel. How tall is Justin Bethel a taller guy? And
he looks 5'10", he looked 5'11". Taller, but I got let me Google it.
It sounds to me that, you know, Jason Hall, that sounds like another move potentially for special teams. You know, they want to get faster, younger, and stronger on special teams. Dan Quinn's not going to be happy with the fact that the Falcons finished dead last in starting field position in the NFL last year. Dead last in the NFL. And he wants to go from 32, not to 16, not to top five. He wants to go 32 to 1. And now some of that, granted, was the fact that they didn't get, you know what, two interceptions their first 10 games of the season, and so they weren't flipping the field around. But at the same time, a lot of it was the fact that they couldn't cover kickoffs. And it was forever. Every time you kicked off and the other team returned it, it seems like they were at the 40, 45-yard line. And then, of course, you weren't returning it very well yourself. So, that area was a very big sore spot, a much bigger sore spot than most fans realize. The Falcons had to go farther, dead last in field percentage, and it bears repeating, they had to go farther for touchdowns than any other team in the NFL last year. That's a burden on your offense.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, you look at this offense, and that was probably one of the problems. Well, that was definitely one of the reasons why it was tough for them to get going. I mean, you know, the year before, it wasn't as big of an issue as it was last year. But you know, you gotta strengthen up every aspect and every area of your team to make it better. And that was one of the things that obviously Coach Quinn went out in this offseason and set to do, was to try to make your special teams a lot better.
It is the Morning Show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. We're talking about the big headlines here in town, the Hawks, the Braves, and the Falcons, and the NFL also making news here. We know about the big story about sports gambling, and it's something that we're all going to have to pay attention to here in Atlanta, because we know that, you know, it's going to be debated down at the State House. So you're going to have all those state reps, like my buddy Buzz Brockway, debating whether or not we should allow sports gambling in Georgia, and by extension, I can guarantee you that means that those investors who wanted to put up, I think they said like five casinos in Atlanta, the one, especially the big one that they wanted to put up down like a Northside Drive across from the
Northside, yo,
World Congress Center. You know, I think that was the site, but they wanted to put up like a 1,000-room hotel and a big casino.
If they did all of that, like I could see eventually them putting a casino here, because that's big business. I can just think of like when you go into Detroit and they got the casino downtown in Detroit, how much revenue that brings into the city. So that is something that I think they definitely would look at. You would definitely have to look at that.
Yeah, well,
that's a lot of money, John.
I mean, you're not going to get any opposition from me. I understand there's going to be opposition in the state, but you're not going to get any opposition from me. I mean, the number of events that they have down there, the only thing I want is I want to invest in it. I mean, I want a piece of it. I want to buy a piece of that hotel and that casino, considering the World Congress Center and the Mercedes-Benz Stadium and Phillips Arena. And, yeah, I want a piece of that. You know, I mean, I know they had talked at one point about underground or something, but I think it's better to be over by – if I was putting a casino hotel, say a huge hotel, 1,000 rooms or more, with a big casino, maybe 1,500 rooms, I would put it on Northside Drive. If I could do it, I would put it on Northside Drive and Ivan Allen.
You know what? I was reading when we were talking about this casino thing and talking about sports betting, you know, with them potentially bringing it to Georgia and other states, and how the NFL, you know, how it's about to change. Sports wagering is about to change.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There was something that I read yesterday. It was on Pro Football Talk, and they were talking about how there could potentially be upcoming this year where you could have micro wagering during the game, where you could bet on actual plays during the game.
Have you ever played that game? You know where you do go into the bar and you play trivia, okay? You ever played QB1? All right, QB1 was a bar game, Hugh. And QB1, you got a little controller, and you had to pick the play before the play. Say you had a dozen teams playing QB1, okay? You kept score. And before the play, you had to pick pass or run, deep, middle, you know, or you had to pick the play. And if you picked the right play, then you got more points, you know? I mean, you got bonus points called QB1. Micro betting that you could bet on the play, the next play is going to be a run or a pass?
They didn't give the specifics on how it was going to work, but they said it could be potential micro wagering during the course of football games. That'd be bananas.
Micro wagering.
That's what they that was a new word, because when I put it into Google, it wasn't in there. But now it's one of them fancy words. But that'd be. I'm not a gambler. I can't say that enough. I'm not a gambler, but I can see how that would be enticing to somebody who likes to gamble. To be able to make like small wagers on what the next play is going to be, or large wagers, and make money quickly, like the fast money, something this is bananas. And I also read a story that they can have sports betting in New Jersey as soon as next month.
Well, yeah, all the casinos there are ready.
Yeah, it's going to be legit within the next month. Yeah. So. This is about to get bananas, and I think that Jersey is going to be the model for everybody else that's even considering trying to bring gambling to their state.
Again, we have one more little note about gambling that Mike Florio makes a really good point about with the NFL. We'll tell you about it in a moment, though. No gambling allowed here. It's just do you win? And by the way, we got a winner. We already have a winner of the $1,000. Not in this contest, but yesterday, day before, we got a winner. It is time for you to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
best. Best. You the best. You win $1,000. Can you loan me $200? You the best. Best to 72881. Best, BEST to 72881. Who's going to be the best pick for the Hawks at number 3? It's our Vision Computer poll question at 929 the game. Best to 72881. Do not text and drive. And a message of data rates may apply. Best to 72881. All right, so I was mentioning that Mike Florio made what I think is a really good point. Mike Florio wrote an article yesterday saying that this sports gambling thing might force the NFL to finally hire full-time officials. Hallelujah. All right, and I think he might be right about this line, Hugh, and this is what Mike Florio writes. He says, in the past, a bad beat caused by officials would create a ruckus from time to time. Like when former NFL referee Scott Green made a mistake at the end of the Chargers-Steelers game in 2008, that caused the line to flip, and bettors got all mad and stuff because he made a mistake, right?
Mm-hmm.
With legalized gambling, that ruckus could quickly become a full-blown inquisition. And if enough of those happen, Congress could make the NFL's worst nightmare come true by creating a federal agency that oversees all American professional sports. He might be right.
Yeah, because you're talking about some of these calls, just like last night during the baseball game, the Braves game, Braves-Cub game. Some of those calls could cost some people a lot of money, and that could be a big problem. So, yeah, to hire full-time refs, that would be the smart thing to do. And they're going to even talk about enhancing the video replay. Because if you're talking about being able to micro-wager during games, and you're talking about all this money that you're going to be spending on football games, you're going to have to get these calls right. You're going to have to get them right. You can't have none of that, a day later, hey, man, we screwed up, my bad. You can't have none of those my bads because you're costing people money.
And you better come out with a definitive
explanation.
For a catch, you better come out with a definitive explanation so that we all fully understand what a catch is. Because and by the way, don't sit around and think, because I think the Spurs mentioning, too, it goes back to what happened with the news from the Supreme Court, that the leagues are opposed to gambling on their games. They're not, because they can't be. It wouldn't do them any good. It's a state's rights issue. Georgia could decide what it wants to do. Supreme Court said so. So what do the leagues want to do? They want to cut. The leagues want money. They want to be in on the game. They want skin in this game. They want 1% from all the books. They want 1% from the sports books around the nation. It's a lot of money. A lot. All this, think about all the sports books that could exist in the NFL and the leagues get 1%.
A lot of cheese.
Busy Wednesday from the Kia Studios. Hopefully you win $1,000 in the National Signing Bonus, like we had a couple of days ago. Next up, where will Dez land? Because it doesn't look like he's going to go to the Great Frozen North anymore.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The Game's National Signing Bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Something you need to know, that next week here in Atlanta, it'll be a big May meeting for all of the teams in the National Football League. Yeah, it's going to be huge next week. It is next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday here in Atlanta. You'll have everybody who's anybody in town for those meetings. At that time, you know, more on rules and more on player movement, and certainly
this gambling situation.
Yeah, the gambling situation is going to be huge.
Yeah,
next week. You're right. And the story, of course, on the Carolina Panthers and the confirmation of the new ownership and what have you. So there's a lot of news breaking in the NFL. And it depends on who you believe. That Dez Bryant is either going to be a Green Bay Packer or he's not. Jason Witten, who is now the new color analyst for Monday Night Football, has made his first bold media type or prediction, saying that
provocative. Gets the people going.
That Dez is going to go to the Packers and join Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Adam Schefter has come out and said, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network has come out and said the Packers are not expected to sign Dez Bryant. So it kind of depends on who you believe. One of the things, and I know that Ian's tapped in, but Jason Witten kind of knows Dez a little. I mean, after all, played with him for
a little bit.
And years and years.
And the story that I was reading, John, said the Packers did have some interest in Bryant when he was first released by the Cowboys, according to the report. But the Packers drafted wide receiver Jamon Moore in the fourth round, wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling in the fifth round. And they got Equanimeous St. Brown. Oh, you was waiting for me to mess that one up.
No. I actually have heard of him before.
Equanimeous in the sixth. So they got some receivers. So I don't think so. Like I said, if Dez Bryant didn't get signed before the draft, it would be kind of tough. Because, as you can see, teams are trying to see what these young players can do. They're going to give them every opportunity that they possibly can to see if they could play.
Yeah, Equanimeous St. Brown went to Notre Dame as a highly touted recruit.
Equanimeous. That's a hell of a name.
It was only okay. You know what? I got to say, though, I mean, I think this is fake right, go left, because Jamon Moore, really? Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown? That's not exactly light my boat if I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I mean, I just, okay.
But the thing about receivers, it's fun. It's a funny thing. Like, sometimes in college, they're not as good as they are in the pros. It's just weird like that. And if you look at the history of the NFL, there are a lot of receivers that have been drafted in the later rounds that have become, like, put up Hall of Fame numbers or are Hall of Famers.
Well, it happens. If it's fair to say that you're only as good as your quarterback. I mean, you'd be the best receiver in the history of the world. If the quarterback can't throw it anywhere in your zip code, it ain't going to matter.
And, you know, they got a good quarterback. They got Aaron Rodgers out there. I mean, he'll whip him into shape.
Right. Hey, man, Brett Favre made guys like Robert Brooks and Billy Schrader back in the day look like great receivers. They were not great receivers, but they just looked like it because Brett Favre was throwing them the ball. So there is something to be said for that. Oh, speaking of that, just over here, because it is the Packers, because I still think the Packers have some interest in Dez Bryant. I do. I mean, they've got Jimmy Graham now, right? So, I could see where they would have some interest in Dez Bryant. This sounds like the Price is Right thing to me. You know what I'm saying? Because they're about to spend some cash. Let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers' contract not done yet. What are we looking at? I mean,
a Gripperton?
Yeah.
That's the best way you can put that. A Gripperton?
I saw one story that said he could push potentially $38 million a year, like $140 million.
You look at what Matt has gotten, and we were all speculating, what, 32? 32 somewhere, like Matt's getting like 30 years, Aaron Rodgers 32. 38, boy, if Matt Ryan gets $38 million a year guaranteed for I don't know how many years, boy, those young quarterbacks, those up-and-comers, like Dak and the guys like that, boy, they're going to get paid. It's going to be bananas the money that these young quarterbacks see when their time is up, especially if their potential is still pretty high, they're going to get paid.
Yeah, I just found it. SportTrack made its projection on Aaron Rodgers' contract extension. Likely get $100 million the first 4 years, $38 million the final year of his deal, 5 years, $140 million with a $45 million signing bonus. That's what they project. So
that's a lot. God bless him, man. I mean, you know, that I think about back when I got it, when I came into the NFL and the money that I got, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. I mean, it was a lot of money. No, I'm not poo-pooing that. But, boy, the money that they're making nowadays is bananas. It's bananas.
Well, see, and so they may just be waiting for, like, not the least of which, you know, the Falcons had to wait. Let's say that they had designs on Terrell McClain at defensive tackle, Hugh, and they just had to wait till they got the deal done with Matt Ryan in order to get the Terrell McClain deal done. And maybe that's what the Packers are waiting for. You know, I mean, the Packers are going to make another move. You can't go into the season, you know, with all these rookie wide receivers.
You might. And it might be a thing where Dez Bryant might not get signed until after the first preseason game. He might not get signed until after the season. I mean, there's a lot going on with Dez that, you know, that people aren't talking about. It wasn't like he was out there lighting it up, John. It wasn't like he was lighting it up. He's an older receiver. And you're talking about he's been playing, what, 7 years in the league?
Right.
Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make a pretty penny as a vested guy. So you look at his production as opposed to maybe some young guy come in making, what, $200,000 a year?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to Dez being a vested player probably somewhere close to $1 million. And if you're looking at the same production, now we're talking about production. If you're looking at the same kind of production, then you're going to go with the cheaper player. I mean, that's how NFL teams look at it. And then you look at all the other stuff that's coming along with Dez. Dez wants to play in the NFC East. He's made that clear. I'm pretty sure at this point, since he's been sitting, he's probably moved off of that stance, and he's probably just trying to get a job somewhere. But that was his initial. He wanted to be in the NFC East. Dez's production has gradually went down every year. And teams are going to look at that, and they're going to be like, it's not like there's going to be a whole lot of team clamoring right now for him.
Yeah, but to that point, though, I got to say that let's not forget, Dak Prescott's throwing you the ball. And no offense, Dak's a good young quarterback. Dak Prescott is not – he ain't no Matt Ryan.
Dak's your future. Dak is your future, though.
Yeah, I understand that, but he's no Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball.
And how about this, though? Let's go back to the game that they played here last year with us. There were – even though the offensive lineman, I forgot his name, let's just call him Turnstile. Because Adrian Claiborne beat him like he was a turnstile. Let's call him Turnstile. Like, Turnstile was out there, like, and I know that was didn't give Dez a chance or anything. Like, I mean, didn't give Dak a chance or anything like that. But when there were opportunities there, Dez came up short. I mean, that's what they're looking at, John. Like, in clutch situations, when there were opportunities for Dez to help take some of that pressure off of Dak, it didn't happen. And that's what you're looking at. You know, he didn't take some of that pressure off of him. And gradually, every year, he hasn't been a 1,000-yard receiver in a few years. Has not been close to 1,000 yards. And had some huge drops last year. Had some huge drops. Had the dropsies. All of that's going against him. And he got a little bit of an attitude. That's going against him. Like, you got to think, though, in this era, in this NFL, all of that is going against you as a player. All of that is going against him. And then the money thing, it doesn't look good for him right now. Now, he might get a job when we get closer to the season, but right now it just does not look good for him.
Yeah, Bo just made the point in my ear that Dez might not get signed until after the first game because then you don't have to guarantee the money.
Yeah, it might be that.
I don't know. I mean, I just think that, you know, again, you put him with the right quarterback and suddenly, you know, where did this receiver come from? Well, guess what? He's playing with Brady now. He's playing with Rodgers. And no offense to Dak Prescott, but Dak Prescott, he's not even Tony Romo throwing the football. And so there has been a downgrade there. I mean, Dak can do things with his feet, and I'm not saying Dak isn't a good quarterback. I'm just saying he's not the thrower that Tony Romo was.
Man,
and he's
not the thrower. They're talking about breaking Dak Prescott off some major bang, though, down there in Dallas.
I know. They're talking about making him, like, you know, an elite paid quarterback, which, by the way, Dak, you know, exceeded my expectations at Mississippi State. He was great, and he exceeded my expectations. I think Dak's a fine quarterback. He's a fine young quarterback. is he really worth that kind of? Ooh, okay.
But I tell you what, that Dak has done. He's gotten to a playoff game faster than Tony Romo did when he was there.
Yeah, okay, but I also tell you, he ain't even the best quarterback in the state. Because the best quarterback in the state is in Houston.
Best quarterback was hurt though, John.
I know the best quarterback.
I mean, he
still
started off. I mean, that was a small sampling size. I hear what you're saying. He had a great start, but that was a small sampling size. You know, the NFL season is 16 games, and say for instance, I'm not wishing anything ill on the young man, but Deshaun Watson. But if he starts off the season like that again and gets hurt, I mean, he's in the same boat that he was in last year. I mean, he has great potential, just can't stay healthy.
Well, let's hope he can stay healthy because he does have great potential. Even though, I mean, I'm not rooting for the Texans, but boy, I am impressed with that young man. Gainesville's own, right? Grady Jarrett, speaking of local football stars, is presenting the golf challenge that we're going to have. It's going to be at Topgolf. It's going to be a party at Topgolf Midtown with Grady Jarrett, our celebrity golf classic. Grady's going to be there with Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Spoon, Spikes, Derek Shelby. Ray Lewis is going to be there. We're all going to be there. It's Wednesday, June 6th. We want you to come join us for a party at Topgolf. Even if you don't play golf, come join us for the party with all the celebrities for the Celebrity Golf Classic. The full event information on our website. Again, Wednesday, June 6th. It's on our website at 99thegame.com. When we get back, wait till you hear this. You think you got issues? Wait till you hear this as we continue with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay, let's do it.
We're giving away $250,000.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, did you hear this?
Back in the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game on this Wednesday. All I could do, I saw this story yesterday involving a pro golfer, and all I could think about was the squirrels in my backyard. You have squirrels, right? Everybody's got squirrels, right?
Uh-huh.
And the squirrels, your squirrels bark like my squirrels bark. I have the loudest barking squirrels. I have a family of squirrels. They bark louder than any squirrels I've ever heard. You ever heard squirrels bark? Oh, yeah, they bark loud. Barking squirrels, yeah. So I've got these barking squirrels, and this is what I thought about when it came to the wife of this this PGA player, because it just sounded like when she talks to you, it must sound like barking squirrels. Here's the story: the 2009 U.S. Open champion is Lucas Glover. He's made over $20 million in his career. Lucas's wife was arrested after attacking him and calling him a softy and a loser after he played a poor round at the PGA Championship. The Players' Championship. Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Barking squirrels.
Nah, never heard that before.
That's what Krista Glover sounds like to me. Krista Glover, 36, arrested at a rented house in Ponte Vedra Beach Saturday. She allegedly physically attacked her husband and his mother after he apparently played a poor round of golf at the Players' Championship. Glover then told police that his wife regularly yells at him whenever he plays poorly. Okay, now you know. There were fresh lacerations to the right arm of Glover and multiple lacerations to both him and his mom. This Krista Glover charged with domestic battery and resisting arrest after she refused to move into the cop car and she yelled at the cops, this is why cops get shot in the face. This is a wonderful woman. But, I mean, you know, just because you have a bad round, dude has made $20 million.
She put that pressure on me. It reminds me of you remember Any Given Sunday when old boy was talking about retiring and she slapped him. She slapped taste out his mouth. It was like, you got 2-3 years at the most. Bow, get your butt in gear. But she called him a vagina. I can say that on air, can I? That's PC. She called him a vagina.
Yeah, so, a softie.
She called him she called him a name, out his name.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on in Lucas's life, but I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, you make $20 million in your life. And, you know, I guess he had been on, he had played around and he didn't play well, and she got all mad at him for not playing well. I mean, this is, you want somebody to support you and love you. Okay, hon, you'll get it back. You know, I mean, you have made $20 million. And that's just, by the way, earnings for Lucas Glover in his
loser
career.
She called him a loser.
He's a major winner.
Loser. No, he's a loser. He hasn't won since 2009. You know, but when you look at some of the money that golfers are making, like on a hole, that's not a bad. That's not. It's like, I mean, he must be making some kind of money because I mean, she looks like she's a very well kept woman. Like she's, you know, she's taking care of herself. The kids look like they're fed and clothed. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. She's putting a lot of pressure on. And then she beat up the mom. Now that I don't know about that though. I don't know what kind of life mom living when she taking L's from daughter-in-laws. You know what I mean? I couldn't imagine my mom taking an L from a daughter-in-law, from my ex-wife. That's not gonna happen.
Well, we're about a third of the way through the golf season so far this year, and Lucas Glover has made just under $800,000. I mean, so it's not like he's hurting. Now, golfers are a little bit different, okay? They're different than other kinds of athletes. I mean, maybe tennis players are too, but golfers are different from other types of athletes. A lot of these golfers, they have to pay for their own way, okay? They got to buy their own plane tickets. They've got to get their own hotel rooms. They've got to set up their accommodations. Now, if you're a big star, you're going to have sponsors who take care of you on that. You might have NetJet. You might have a hotel chain like Hilton or whatever. You know, I mean, if you're a big star, I don't know that Lucas is a big star. He has won a major. He's won three tournaments in his life. And again, he's made $800,000 so far this year. And we're a third of the way through. That translates to about $2.5 million this year. That's a pretty good life.
And, like, he's kind of a soft – like, he might be what she – all the names, all the mean and hurtful names that she called him. Because then he goes to, I guess, to Instagram and puts on Instagram, he talks about the altercation. And says that my wife and my mother got into it, and unfortunately, my wife was charged. We are comfortable that the judicial system is able to address what actually happened, and Crystal will be cleared in this private matter. We thank you for respecting our privacy as we work through an unfortunate situation. Yeah, your wife be beating the brakes off of you. That's domestic violence.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I mean, I'm not laughing at the domestic violence. Don't get. I don't want anybody to get like that. I'm not laughing at that. But it's like, dude, like. You're going to Twitter. You're going to social media to plead your wife's case. Man, keep that in house, man.
No kidding.
Keep that in house.
And here's the other thing. I mean, if this is a one-off, maybe, you know, I mean, she got mad at him for something else, you know, or whatever. But he claims his wife regularly yells at him whenever he plays poorly. Maybe he plays poorly because you yell at him.
She about that life, though. Man. And her mugshot, though. She looked like she about ready to take somebody to task.
Yeah,
in a mug
she do.
Shot.
Yeah, she looked a little crazy, half crazy. She also looks like one of those people that isn't as good looking as they think they are. You know what I mean? And they think that they are deserving of something, or I don't know. She a little wackadoodle. Oh, one other quick story here because I just thought this was interesting too. 91-year-old Johnny Douglas was behind 39-year-old Philip Bailey, who was a McDonald's employee who was off duty at the time and went back to his McDonald's. And this, you see the pictures. This Philip Bailey, he looks like the Antichrist, villain in a Superman film. Anyway, 91-year-old Johnny Douglas, 91-year-old man. He's behind 39-year-old Philip Bailey, off-duty McDonald's employee. I'm an off-duty McDonald's employee. They get into an altercation at a McDonald's, at the drive-thru, over a tomato. I don't know how this happened. He just says, over a tomato. Once Bailey got his order at the window, he reportedly got so mad, he took his smoothie out the car and hurled it at the other car. And so Bailey, the McDonald's employee, throws the 39-year-old, throws his smoothie at the 91-year-old. 91-year-old pulls out a gun and starts to cap him.
Well, what is this world coming to?
McDonald's drive-thru. Bam, bam, bam.
Oh, he busting shots at McDonald's? Cacao, cacao. Did he hit him? Did he hit him, though?
Let's see here. Bailey threw the shot, went over Bailey's head. No, he was unharmed. Both arrested at the scene, both charged with felonies, one for criminal recklessness.
The dude that threw the smoothie got charged?
Yep, criminal recklessness. You chuck a smoothie at somebody, I guess you can get charged. It wouldn't be as bad as, you know, pulling out the 91-year-old.
Well, they were both throwing projectiles, but one of them was throwing hot lead, and somebody was throwing cold smoothies.
Yeah, so they both got popped. Well, frankly, again, from the picture of this 39-year-old, he looks like he is. He'd been to prison before. I'm just guessing. That's a wild guess. When you read the story, you'll go, that's probably where he was. That's why he works at McDonald's when he's 39, and he's not a manager. He's just, I'm just saying. Just come to the interesting odd stories. Hey, we do want to let you know that we're having a very interesting conversation this morning on our Twitter at 929TheGame. Kind of not a debate, but a pointed discussion over who the Hawks should take at number 3, because there's a lot of opinions. And we want you to join. So we want you to vote on our poll, who should the Hawks take at number 3 at 929 the game. But we also want you to join the discussion. So when you vote on the poll, jump in. Because we're talking back to you, too. Headlines on a very busy Wednesday next. Don't go anywhere. On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.